You're listening to Blind Entrepreneurship, an interview series podcast that highlights the stories of the top business professionals around the world. In each episode, we explore how entrepreneurs overcame blindness in business in order to execute their vision. This podcast is brought to you by Penji. I am your host, Jonathan Grisbowski, and today we have Mark Guberti on the show. Mark is a USA Today and Wall Street Journal best-selling author with over 100,000 students in over 180 countries enrolled in his online courses. He is the host of the Breakthrough Success podcast and radio show where listeners learn how to achieve their breakthroughs. He coaches content curators on how they can attract more traffic to their content and boost revenue. I wanted to highlight Mark's story due to his relentless attitude to change the world. Although Mark may be young, in his mind and in his spirit, and his way of thinking is incredibly wise. On the episode, we talk about some really cool stuff about how to how Mark markets his books, his schedule, and how he wins his own day. We also talk a little bit more about his approach to a consistent strategy in content creation. I think as a young professional like himself, to win the day is probably one of the hardest things that you can achieve. And being able to do it at such a young age, I think is incredibly remarkable. So Mark, if you're listening, thank you so much for being on and congratulations to your success. We can all learn a thing or two about the young, a younger professional mind. And even though young and age should not be a factor in any aspect of life and doing business, I absolutely commend all of those that are hustling, all of those who are still young in age, going out there and not letting anything or any barrier hit them on the way. And they're just breaking through that noise and they're breaking through those barriers and they're breaking through those walls and able to change the world. Let's help Mark specifically get to and be able to help over 1 billion people, which again is something else that we talk about. So let's get to it. Today's episode is sponsored by Penji. Are you in charge of marketing for your business and need graphic design support? Let Penji design anything you need for your business, from a logo to your marketing materials, sales sheets, social media content, and so much more. Penji helps you achieve more with unlimited graphic design support, daily output, and a dedicated project manager, all at one flat monthly rate. We have an exclusive offer to the blind entrepreneur community. Head over to penji.co and use the coupon code BLIND for 15% off your first month. Again, that's penji.co. PENJI.co and use the coupon code BLIND for 15% off your first month of Penji. And now, let's get to today's episode. Mark, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely, man. So before we begin, is it true that you used to be a pretty big Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan?
Yes, that was definitely a while ago. I still know a decent amount about it, but I used to have a blog about that actually did pretty well.
Yeah, I was looking it up as a kid. I don't even know how many years ago at this point in time, but Yu-Gi-Oh is like my jam. Like I saw one of your videos about Mirror Force and I was like, I remember that card.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So what made you want to start it, or what got you into it?
So it was just something I was very interested in as a kid, and I got into the world of blogging because of baseball. I'm also interested in the Red Sox. I'm a big fan, New Yorkers. So the blog was a way to connect with Red Sox fans. So that expanded my potential for blogging. I just saw like this whole thing is possible. So then I went into the Yu-Gi-Oh! Then fast forward and doing the content marketing stuff, best-selling author stuff that I'm more known for. But it really just started out of curiosity, just really wanting to experiment with blogging because I just love to write about things that I wanted to write about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the curiosity of what once was, does that curiosity remain the same today?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like when I see like a new opportunity, I want to pounce on it because I want to see like what kind of excitement, what kind of joy it could bring me. Because yes, like money, traffic, visitors, all those things that come with the certain opportunities, like podcasting, for instance, which is one that I really enjoy, but it's just like, I really enjoyed putting out this work and people just happened to come across it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Mark, you have a pretty big goal that I'm sure a large majority of people would say that you're absolutely crazy for even thinking about. But for people here at Blind Entrepreneurship, we see it as a possibility, and that is to impact a billion people in your life. How do you, I guess for starters, how did you even come up with that idea that you want to impact a billion people?
I just want to leave as much of an impact as I can, because I feel like there's so many people who they want to grow their businesses. There's so many people who they want to achieve their goals. And I mean, there's a lot of different resources out there that are helping, but I do want to be one of those people who helps people out. And I mean, I could have set it to like, you know, like an easier goal, like a few thousand people, but I feel like if you go that big, like with your goals, it inspires the big work that can make those things possible. So I'd rather give myself a big goal like that and slightly miss it than give myself a little goal and hit it. So that's definitely part of the mindset. But in regards of how I plan on doing that, right now it's just be continuing to put out the content that I'm putting out, continuing to put in the work. Eventually, though, I do see myself tapping into like different places around the world, where in some cases, like it may be like a different language that some of my like marketing messages are being communicated, like additional stuff. So that is something that I have at the back of my mind.
Oh, that's awesome. I want to get to content briefly, but something that I think is really awesome is just some of your accolades. You're a relatively young guy. You wrote a book back in 2013, and you've also have over 112,000 students on Udemy. So, you know, your hustle is definitely real. So tell us a little bit about, I guess, the book process and the content piece, because you've historically been able to create some incredible content throughout the course of your young life and your professional life.
Sure. So when it comes to creating the content, books and training courses, they follow the same approach. It's just slightly different, because books, you just write it all out, or you could just speak it in audio and transcribe it later. I usually just write it out, while training courses is video, but the method is the same. The first thing I just do is I just come up with an idea, and then I create a list of all the different things that I would feel like would be good fits to cover. And then I organize that list later and then tackle each thing one by one. So I always know what I'm going to do next. It's never me trying to figure out what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I know all the things I'm supposed to be doing before I do a single video for a training course, before I write a single word for one of my books. So the great thing about knowing what you're supposed to be covering is that with that done, you could then think more creatively. So sometimes in a book, I'll do the entire outline, but then I'll add like a whole chapter about something I didn't even think of, because I have that luxury, because I know everything I'm supposed to cover. So I could think for these bigger ideas, since the rest of the ideas are already covered. And then it's just a matter of setting time in your day to make the content happen. It depends on like what season I'm in. Sometimes I'll create content for several hours in a given day. Other times it'll maybe just be 30 to 60 minutes, because I want to spend more time marketing that content so it actually reaches people. But that's essentially how I'm able to create all the different content that I create.
So let's talk a little bit about your process of, I guess, how to, I guess, start it. And then we'll kind of move on and get to how do you market it? Because obviously you do an amazing job at both. So like let's just say you have an idea, let's start from the very beginning. Let's say you have an idea, and how does that idea turn into whatever it is that you want it to?
So that comes down to the brain dump and the outline. Just like sit down, write down as many different like video ideas or chapter ideas. And for the chapter ideas, write down as many things you could cover. One thing I like to do in my outline is Socratic questioning. So let's say like for one of my books, Content Marketing Secrets, like one of the chapters is around repurposing. Well, what questions would you have for that? There could be like, how do I repurpose my content? How do I find the time to make this happen? What's the best way to promote the repurposed content? And then when you do all this repurposing, like which content piece do I focus on? The original, the small one, like how do I promote all this stuff? So those are different questions people have on repurposing. And what the Socratic questioning does, which is what I just did, just in one part of my book, you are asking yourself questions as if you're a beginner, and then the answers to your questions form the meat of your content. So some people, they'll just write the outline, but it's sometimes like when you've been in the game for so long, you forget to think like a beginner and you kind of assume people know the same things you know. So if you ask yourself questions like that, you come out with a lot more content for your books, for your training courses. So that's how I get the really deep outline. And then it is just a matter of creating that content. I do like to make it as easy as possible for me to create content. So for books, it's just open up the computer and type. Or video, it's put the headphones on, go by the microphone, start recording. I have a complicated light setup, but I rarely use it unless it's nighttime. I like the natural light, but I do make it as easy for myself to create the content so I don't have to feel like I have to do like 10 different steps before I could even get to the point of creating the content.
Okay. So you're just simply trying to make it easier for yourself to just think more freely, and then executing by just like whatever that method is, you just go all in on it.
Yep, that's it.
And so when you're writing these outlines, right, because I think a lot of people, and this is me including, so if we could dive in a little bit deeper in this one, one of the hardest things for me in particular, and again, a large majority of people, is just the act of doing it. And so when you're setting when you're making your setup, and when you're actually doing these outlines, it's relatively difficult to stay consistent with it. So what are some remedies that you have in order to maintain that consistency?
I just make my outlines super quick. So when you already have the idea, I'm only going to, like, for a book, I'll go a little deeper into it. But even for a book, my outline is never more than 10 minutes. And I always pick an off hour to do the outline because you get the adrenaline rush when you, like, completed that line, when you see the whole thing, when you envision your book completed. But I'd rather do that during an off hour, so like 3 p.m. or like afternoon after lunch or something like that, when productivity drops, that's the time where I want to be using my thinking mind to create those outlines. I don't create outlines at like 9 a.m. the time we're doing this interview, because this is when I'm super productive. This is when I want to be creating the content instead of doing the outlining. So if I'm feeling very tired right before a nap or something like that, I will go ahead and create that outline during a time where I know I will not be productive creating or marketing my content.
So you seem like you've mastered your day pretty well, which is, again, incredibly huge respect, because even the most successful people aren't able to capture that. What would you say, you mentioned 3 o'clock or like, you know, like a nap or something like that. Where do you see your highest growth, your highest creative moment? I guess let's go a step further back. Take me throughout your day. Like, when does it usually begin? When does it usually end? When are the most productive hours being done?
All of my days usually start the night before, because I will look at the day ahead of me and I will map out like minute by minute what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't map it like 7 minutes here, 3 minutes here, but I'll do like 15 to 30 minute chunks to make the activity doable. So with that set up, I now know what I have to do, and there's a little less room for like interpretation. Because if you're super clear on your schedule, then you're going to get the different results that are going to be really beneficial to you. So that's what I do first. And my most productive hours are, both of those are the bookends. So I've had days where I get up at like 6 or 7 a.m., do a bunch of work for a few hours uninterrupted. I've had other days, like recently, where I will stay up until like 1:30 or even almost 2 a.m. because everyone else is sleeping. So I have uninterrupted time for my work. So I'm at my most productive when I'm uninterrupted, when I'm at those bookends, like super early or super late in the day. And then it's just a matter of using your calendar to really get clear on what your schedule is and what you're supposed to be doing.
Are you the type that writes things down, or are you more so just Like, do you do it digitally or do you do it physically?
I use the calendar app for the like mapping out my day. And that's because if something happens, like a run takes a little longer than I expected, or I get something done quicker than I thought, I want to be able to make those adjustments to the calendar instead of like scribbling things out.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk, I was watching a video about your tipping point. And I would love for you to, I guess, if you can remember at least a little bit of the conversation, you know, what that tipping point is for you, and how do you go about that whole philosophy?
So the tipping point, I honestly don't remember that video. Can you just like give me some context on it?
Yeah, I mean, you talked a little bit about like the balance. You know, there's like this balance of your life. There's this 80-20. And then obviously as you're going through about your day, you have to be able to allocate the right resources and times on the things that matter most, because everything in life for the most part is 80-20. I guess if you don't remember, it's totally fine. We could just move on. But when it comes to just that balance, how are you able to balance? That was more so the question that I was alluding to, more so the balance, right? So like you're working, it seems to be like you're working all the time, but there has to be some level of like of outside of just work. And I would like to hear a little bit more about like what it is that you do in order to provide that balance in your life.
Yeah, that's a really great question. People do ask me because they're like, Mark, you're a teen, like have fun, like do teen things. And I think the way that you, like, people have different definitions of fun, what one person finds fun, stuff like that. I may not find fun. I'm not the kind of person who goes out every weekend and does that kind of stuff. But regarding like finding balance, because I feel like it's a sweet spot for so many people. One person who came on my show recently described it as a harmony. And I like the way of describing that, because you're never going to be 50-50 every single day. So for instance, yesterday, which was the 1:30 a.m. day, like that was all business. Why? Because I'm going on vacation for the next 2 weeks. So during that vacation time, like my business is really getting put in the back seat. So I'm like scheduling things that so everything can flow without me for those 2 weeks. But the going into the vacation, like I'm doing all the things I have to do for business, so that, you know, I can go to vacation knowing all the stuff is done. So it's a harmony where some days it's going to be fully business or mostly business. Some days it's going to be fully family or mostly family. So the harmony is a great way to look at it, but then you got to look at what's disrupting your harmony, because there are some things that people do that it doesn't make sense for them to be doing, or it neither helps them with their key relationships in life, or it doesn't help them with their business and with their goals. So while the whole harmony thing is nice, like, you know, like you're going to spend unequal times on each thing each day, but in the aggregate, they should add up. You ought to be looking at the things that do not help you at all and start cutting those things, sometimes people, out of your life.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to go with. Like, you know, that harmony, do you see it as a young kid? And I don't want to necessarily even go into the world of you being a young guy, because I don't think that's too relevant in this conversation. You're a professional, you're on the show, you're proven with all your accolades. You're 23 books, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's amazing. So I don't even want to go down the route of just like being a young kid. But however, I have to at least say that for me growing up, it was people. It was for the most part people, and those people influencing my life and then maybe changing my course of direction because of the feedback that I was received because I was such a young kid. How are you able to navigate that? The people that you talk to, the people that are being that constant resource and help versus the people that are just like, hey man, like go out and have fun.
Well, like the time I spend kind of mirrors like the answers to that. So I'll spend a lot more time with the people who are supportive of me, or they're people who they seem like they are moving in that right direction. Like I have a lot of respect for a college student or a high school student or middle school student who wants to start their business, and I actively like helping those people.
Yeah.
So like that could be like a little extra in the friendship and the conversation. But when it comes to school, someone's like, you need to get out more. You need to do X, Y, Z. That's what you want me to do. But that's not what I want to do. So those are the people who the hanging out and socializing begins and ends on the campus. And honestly, that's a lot of people just because I don't have a like, I don't hang out with a lot of people like other than being on the campus. That's just the way I like to do things because mm-hmm. I like to go on the business and spend more time with my family. So part of it is based on the priorities you set for yourself, but it comes down to the person who's giving you that advice, like go out, do all these different things. Like that's based on their lifestyle and they're giving you advice, assuming that you should be a clone of them,
yeah.
which is not the right approach for you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and that's a great answer. And thank you for sharing that. It means a lot. Something that I think is really cool about your story is just the idea of like you writing the books, but it's at the same time, you could write 23 books as you did, but if people aren't necessarily reading them or they know about them, then what's the actual purpose of writing a book? So can you tell us a little bit more about not only, I mean, you talked a little bit about your writing patterns and your habits and things like that, but can you also dive a little bit deeper in how you're actually able to get it out there to the masses?
Sure. So for any book, the most important part is the launch, which is why I advise people, like sometimes people just feel like launching book after book after book. And you should only be launching a book at a time frame where you feel like you can promote. So like this 2-week vacation I'm talking about, I would never come out with a book like just before the vacation or just after vacation because I need more time to market it properly. Mm-hmm. So you have to like think about that. Marketing on your launch. If you're a beginning author, you may want to offer it for free for a few days. Get all of your friends to download it and then get all of them to leave reviews because books with more reviews are just naturally going to sell more than books with no reviews or books that have less reviews. So you want to get a ton of reviews. You want to get a ton of initial downloads on the launch. So whether that's free because you want to get reviews or you're a bit more established and you want to do a launch where you charge like $3 for the book, which is what a lot of people do on Amazon because it's the lowest price you can charge to get that 70% commission. So thinking about that with the launch and then just like afterwards, like how do we continue to get sales for it? Because some people, they just do a launch. They see their income spike and that's like, what happens now? Amazon ads are a really great way to promote your books. I've used them. They've given me great results. It's in my, based on my experience, it also depends on book cover, description, reviews, things like that. It's not too hard to profit from Amazon ads. But it does depend on a few different factors. So Amazon ads, it's also, it's a little new and I don't think people know as much about it as like Facebook ads and Google ads, which are a bit of the buzzwords. But Amazon ads are a really great way to extend the life of your book and get those passive sales once you do the initial work of putting it up and getting reviews.
So now you have, now let's talk about like the launch aspect of it. So you have a launch, right? And you have like a launch, I guess like checklist or something to that effect. And what does the launch actually, I mean, yes, I understand the Amazon ads, which I think is an amazing tip, but when you're actually launching, does it involve like, I guess, how much content does it actually involve? Because I see a lot of people on social media and they're constantly talking about they're doing videos, they're doing live Facebook lives, they're writing more, they're getting on more podcasts, just like this one. And they're doing so many other things. So like, what does the actual launch look like to you? And how many days before the actual launch should you start doing it?
It definitely depends on the strategy for your book. If you are doing a pre-order, then I would recommend all those things you just said, like do more guest posts, get on more podcasts, talk about more of your videos because people can buy it right away through that pre-order. And then like the thing with pre-order sales is if you get like 1,000 pre-order sales throughout the course of 6 months. The day your book comes out, that registers as 1,000 sales for that day. So that's how you get on a big bestsellers list. You pump up the pre-orders, and all of those pre-orders like come into that 1 week. So that's the strategy people use to get on those bestsellers lists. So I would recommend like doing it at least 2 to 3 months before. If you're a self-published author, you want to make a big splash with your book. Obviously, the more time you plan, the better. I know KDP right now only lets you schedule your book or pre-order up to 3 months into the future. So that's a factor for self-published authors using that platform. But if you want to just come out with your book for free for a few days and then make it not free, that's something where it's less of like how much content you create and how many people know that it's going to be the launch day, and then they decide to leave a review for your book, because that's the more important thing about the when you're doing a free promo. You want as many of your friends, as many of your colleagues to get the book, because that'll spike the rating. But more importantly, you've got a bunch of people who are going to leave really good reviews for your books, which is really great for the long term. So it definitely depends on which of those strategies you want to implement.
So now you have all these people, right? So you have 1,000 people that are now buying your book. And for the most part, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not going to necessarily ask, but it's, I would say from the people I've talked to, it's pretty difficult to make a living when it comes to just selling books all the time. It's definitely possible. There are anomalies in the case that people actually do that. But I'm going to assume that there has to be a little bit more. There has to be like the book is a tripwire, so to speak, in order to get them invested into what your brand and your story actually is. I guess, like, would you agree with that statement? And if you do, then what is that next step in order to get them more involved in your brand?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's something I'm a big advocate for, because with books, like think about your typical KDP book, think about your typical $299. You need to sell like 50,000 of those books to make 100 grand. Now it is slightly less than that because of math, it's like maybe 48,000 copies you have to sell, but I don't feel good about having to sell 48,000 of something every right. single year just to hit my income goal. While if you do like something for like $300 a month, which is what I do for my podcast, YouTube, and Make Money With Your Content coaching, that's what I currently charge, then you need fewer people to hit your income goals, especially if you like promote high-end courses as an affiliate. So the book is a tripwire. I think that's how you have to view it. So on the first page of like all my books, and it is the first page on purpose because that's what you can see with the free preview option that Amazon gives you. It's always promoting one of my offers. So for Content Marketing Secrets, I'm promoting the Content Marketing Success Summit. For the Wealthy Author, I'm promoting the Wealthy Author Summit. These are free opt-ins. People subscribe. They get upsells right away on the All Access Pass. And that's how I use the books as a way to build authority, get book royalties, but also grow my email list, get sales for some of my summits and programs, and get coaching clients as well.
Very cool. What would you say is the end goal?
It would just be to continue the relationship and hopefully get some people, enough people to take those different actions, like be a coaching client, buy one of the All Access Passes, join my email list, because then I could communicate with you on a deeper level. Like a book, like I write, most of my books are under 100 pages. That's by design, because then people actually sit down and read them. Mm-hmm. But when people do read your book, that's no like and trust on steroids, because they're really investing like 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, even if they have no idea who you are and they just came across your book through an Amazon ad, they're now investing time in you. And if you say like, hey, schedule a free strategy call with me here, or I believe this virtual summit or this resource will really help you, they're more likely to take action. Combine that with including those hyperlinks in your Kindle books. Like while in a paperback that you can't really click on anything, people forget that in a Kindle book, you can create those links and get people to click, lead them to your website, lead them to your strategy call, and all those important places.
Very cool. And then when it comes to just like the content, then you have to, you know, or once you are able to get them to come in as a customer, that's when the real work begins, right?
Yeah, that, I mean, the book is a ton of work. The marketing is going to be the most work. But then when you get them in as a customer, like if it's a virtual summit all access pass, like I don't do anything there because it's like, here's your all access pass. But when you get them as a coaching client, then the work begins. And like that kind of stuff's always interesting. You see like what's bringing in the coaching clients. They would hear, oh, it was your book. That makes you realize that that $2 royalty sale that you got from your book, that sale was not a $2 sale. It was a $2 plus $300 a month sale.
Yeah. And then do you see yourself doing this, the same type of style, the same type of content, it's the same type of approach in the future? Because for me, again, this is just like what I see content changing, and content has changed since you started back in 2013. It's changed drastically to what it is today. So do you feel as if that, like, there are some things that you've seen change from 2013 to today when it comes to just content promotion, authority, et cetera?
I mean, I still like the overall strategy that I've laid out, like the books and the summits and all those different things. But I do feel like there are some changes in the sense where people are spending different amounts of time on other social networks. Like live wasn't really that big of a thing, if it even was a thing around that time. Like, I think YouTube might have been the only player in that space, but now I see live video really having a big impact. So, I mean, I definitely see my strategy changing a little bit as the different platforms change and like their ability to grab attention, new ones that come out. But overall, like the main strategy, like that, the core principles still stand.
Very cool. And if people wanted to follow you, if people wanted to buy all of your books, and I recommend buying all of them, not just one of them. But if people wanted to be a part of your story, get coached by everything that you, by you, and hear the stories of everything that you have going on, what are the best ways of people to follow you?
So all my books are on Amazon. So if you just put my name in Amazon, Mark Burry, or if you just do markburry.com, you'll find a ton of awesome stuff. And if you do want to schedule a strategy call, you're interested in making money with your content, whether it's podcasting, YouTube, a book. I coach people on a bunch of different things. So if you're interested in making money through content, getting exposure, it could work. So the link to that is markburry.com/strategy, or just text the number text the word strategy to 31996, and you'll get the link that way too. Anyway, this was such a really awesome experience. I do hope the listeners got a lot from it. And if you are listening to this episode and you got a lot from it, please let me know, because podcast guests and hosts really love it when you reach out to them saying that you got a lot from the episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have an amazing podcast as well. So we'll definitely link your books and everything else that you mentioned in the show notes so people can go right ahead and follow along and subscribe. You've been listening to Blind Entrepreneurship, brought to you by Penji. Our guest this week was Mark Guberti. All right, listeners, I'm sending a worldwide challenge. Today, I'd love you to find an opportunity to win the day, just like Mark's able to do in a very clear and cohesive fashion. Whatever it takes in order to win the day in the morning, or whether you're more productive at night, figure out what it is that your peaks are and what are your low points are, and focus on the highs and not the lows. We always like to say here at Penji, it's time to do the things that move boulders and not pebbles. And when you do, tweet me at GrisbowskiJ or head over to tbeshow.com and drop a comment on this week's episode. You can find more about Mark at markguberti.com. Also in the links are all of his 23 books that he's been able to do. Most people aren't even able to write one, but he's been able to write 23. As for us here at Penji, you can check us out if you need an on-demand graphic design solution at penji.co. And again, head over to tbeshow.com. to listen to more episodes just like this one. It's the only way that we can cure blindness in business. And please share this episode with a friend if you felt that this was valuable to you and your business. Go out there and execute your vision, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.